All right, well, good morning. We're here with Brian Kelly and Common Ground, and excited to be here talking to you this morning. I know you were just here, but go ahead and, you know, kind of give us an update again about what's happening locally and then with the camp, et cetera, with Common Ground right now.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I'm trying to think of how to quickly summarize. So we decided this fall to partner with Ken Austin and kind of merge our after school programs together. We realized, well, we already knew this, but every day we would show up at the schools and our vans and buses would be right behind his vans and buses, you know, at the same schools picking up kids and coming to the same neighborhood. The difference is he was running them to his building and over at the MAP Center, and you know, we were running the Common Ground. So he and I have just always, since day one, worked together in different ways, but we decided it was time to try to figure out a way to utilize our resources better and try to work together. So we did that this, we tried it last summer and it kind of, we weren't able to make it happen. So this fall we started putting our after school programs together. So we merged all of our kids together and did that at our facility. And so, you know, because of COVID, we had kind of come down in our numbers and we're still building back up. That was for two reasons. One was the money had gone way down for us. And two, we just had to go way down because, you can only have so many staff per kids and the way you had to transport them and all that stuff during COVID. So we finally, now we're kind of recovering from that. We're bumping our numbers back up. So merging back with Ken kind of put us, you know, further up again. But that's what we were doing, with the after school program. We're still going the same way. The reason I mentioned that is that's the main time that we get with the kids. And so usually we pick kids up every day between 3:30 and, well, we start picking kids up about 2:45 with some of the schools, but you know, 3 to 4, they're at our facility. We have them till about 6 every day. And so we're still doing the traditional stuff we've done every year. We do academics for the first hour. We do some sort of elective and, kind of developmental time for the second hour with the kids, Monday through Friday. We do a Bible study with the kids still every week, evangelistic Bible study. And, right now we have 4-year-olds in a pre-K all day across the street at our, annex. We have 4-year-olds all day. And then we have, so they're here from 7 to 3. And then we have the kindergarten through 12th grade come in the afternoons. And so the plan this summer is that, we'll still merge again our kind of everyday program with Ken. He's going to oversee it, but our staff and his staff will still work together and do the summer program. And then we're going to open up a summer camp. And so this summer we'll serve a bunch of organizations that either we've helped plant or we're now in partnership with. They'll all come down to or over to Verbena to do a camp. Our kids will come 2 or 3 days a week up there and kind of do a day camp all summer long. Other kids will come, if we can get the housing ready in time, they'll come and do week-long kind of overnights. And so we have Common Ground Shoals, Common Ground Troy, Common Ground Montgomery, and then you have Mercy House, Valiant Cross, That's My Child, and potentially King's Canvas. I don't know kind of what he's doing with the kids in the summer. We're going to talk to him about it. But we'll provide free camp for those kids to be able to come up, and we'll do evangelistic work with churches to do vacation Bible schools and things like that. We have 3 churches already coming up for the summer. A 4th one is about to commit. So they'll come to the camp. They'll serve on the camp and do rebuilding efforts and cleanup efforts on the property. They'll help us rebuild cabins and things like that. But while they're there, they're going to do vacation Bible school kind of stuff with our kids. So that's what we're planning right now. Next summer, hopefully we'll have enough cabins done to be able to do every single week. We'll do day, week-long overnight camps for kids. This summer, we'll probably do a couple of them if we can get enough cabins done in time. And then we'll allow kids, like That's My Child. We're working with Charles right now to be able to bring his kids up, same as ours, maybe a couple times a week, you know, until we can get the overnight stuff done. So that's where we are. Let's see. The other side of where we're going to add back, we did this for years, we're about to add it back, is that we're trying to become a training center for the church. We're trying to use that property to have the church send mission teams and serve with us and other nonprofits around. But also we do the philosophical training for Crossing Culture and for kind of rethinking how to do outreach, how to do evangelism, how to impact their cities and their areas. Or so if it's local churches, of course, it'll be from Montgomery, but we've got churches this summer coming from down Seven Rivers PCA is coming to spend another week with us. You know, they came for about 15 years before COVID. So they're trying to reestablish a yearly trip with us. And we're Destin Church of Christ is coming. There's about four or five other churches that we're in talks with now that to start sending their members. And we're trying to have an impact on them about reaching out kind of across racial and economic and denominational lines. And so that's what we're hoping to become, as well as an impact center for the church in general. And then I'd say last, the third layer is the people that are in the neighborhoods. We really want to be an impact on them, the frontline workers, the nonprofit leaders, church leaders, people that are intentionally living and trying to love their neighbors and kind of distressed areas. We want to become a caring and training and kind of nurturing center for them. I've been a coach with Desire Street for the last 12 years or so, trying to help leaders that do nonprofit work on the front lines not burn out, not lose their marriages, not kind of in an unhealthy way give their lives away in neighborhoods where they're always accessible. So that's the third level. Of course, me kind of going through a divorce, me going through a lot of the things I did with some, I think I mentioned there, some of the brain issues I went through with the trauma and stuff like that. That's impacted me in a way that I'd like to see other people not have to go through that, or at least have someone walk them through the process if they do. So that's the way I see Common Ground kind of pivoting. We want to really utilize the intensives and camps structure and retreat center structure to impact kids and families in the neighborhood. We want to impact frontline workers, and we want to really train and be a place to inspire and kind of work with the church in general to impact through the local church. I still think that's the best way to, you know, impact people for the kingdom of God. So that's where we are. That's kind of my summary.
That's a lot. Yeah. Well, okay, let's go back to Montgomery and what y'all do. I'm surprised to hear that the older children, the 12th through 12th grade, are still coming and being involved at that age. How does that work? How do you see that?
Well, we've tried everything, and we've failed at most of it. You know, for years we did a t-shirt business at one point. We had a screen printing business that we did to try to pay the kids and let them earn some money. We've tried to do just general tutoring with the high school kids. We've tried a lot of stuff that didn't go real well. The really what has us keeping the kids is that we've had some of these kids since they were kindergartners. You know, we've just really been long term with them. And so it's that relational connection that keeps them around. Ideally, I think to be impactful at that age, you've got to figure out a way for them to earn money. I mean, there's just really the only way. One, they need it. They really need it. And two, what we've been successful in is a lot of our high schoolers do have jobs. Now we work around that. And so it's not that all of them are there every day the way all the other kids are, but they're there two or three days a week. A lot of times we'll provide the rides to their work. But there's usually a couple of days. I mean, they're all in Bible study. They're all here. Most of our work for them is accountability. We do provide tutors if they need it, and some of them really need it, but it's more trying to keep them moving forward and kind of walking with them. And so we do have high school kids. Now it's less, you know, than middle school and lower school because their parents are a little, it's not as easy for them to make them be there. But the ones we have that come every day, it's relationally connected. So that's how we do it. And, you know, the graduation rate for kids that stay with us through 12th grade is massively higher than those that don't. There's no way around that because, I'm trying to think of the numbers. We've got about 15 high school kids right now. And so they're there most days, but a lot of them have jobs, and they definitely have jobs all summer. We really push for that. That's the other thing about the camp. When we get it up and running, I want to hire those kids. I want them working for us in the summer, and training them and instilling life skills and work skills and things like that. My desire was to create an online thrift store and a couple other businesses that those kids could work in. throughout the year, and we could earn money to pay. And I still haven't given up on that. If we do that, we'll do it out of the MAP Center. We'll do it out of Ken's building and, you know, use that. And that's still something I want to do. But right now we're just working after school stuff, and we'd like to add that next layer next year if we can with Ken.
Mm-hmm. You've been at it for a long time. What do you see? And I know you've mentioned when you were here, the violence, is that mm-hmm. something that's drastically changed? What else has changed for these kids that they're experiencing?
It's always been bad. I mean, you know, since we've been here, but it's definitely increasing. What's changed? I think you just have more time. You have another generation. I mean, we've been here about 16, 17 years. You have another generation of kids that have grown up in that violence and most without fathers in the home, the great majority, 99.9%. Another generation of fatherless kids. I was out in the front of the building the other day, and there was a handful of middle school boys that were threatening to bite one of the kids on our program. And I realized in talking with them, I don't even know these kids. They weren't even born. We started this ministry. Like, you know, they don't know who I am. They don't know anything about me. These kind of young gang member kids that are in maybe eighth, ninth grade. And so, you know, you just got a whole nother generation of kids, and they feel very, kind of consciousless about the violence. And they talk about death like it's video games. They talk about the shootings and the disconnection and all that. They're really pretty fearless. You know, that was the one thing I noticed with those boys. I mean, I wasn't trying to intimidate them or anything, but I thought, I just don't trust that they won't pull out a gun on me right now. You know, and I've never felt all these years, I've never felt that with any of these kids. And so I don't know. I mean, it's just more time. You've had more time of that kind of community trauma, community violence. Every public school right now is an F public school that I'm aware of in Montgomery, except for the magnet schools. And so it's just a whole nother, you know, just 4 years of drama and drama. I mean, I kind of had this pipe dream that we would, you know, planted Strong Tower, and it would be the disciple and maker church in the neighborhood. You would have house to house and Common Ground and Mercy House and different kind of outposts of having kids in our homes and in our programs and really transforming the neighborhood and all that. But in reality, it's still a neighborhood that's predominantly the same experience for everybody there. It's an isolated, disconnected community, and I don't think that's good for anybody. And so, the kids we've seen do the best are the kids that go away for a while, whether it's college or move away. They've had something happen. We've had kids that we've actually sent up to people we knew. I've got a kid in New Jersey right now working up there with some guys that I know, and his whole life has radically changed because he got out. And then we've had a few move back, and they're doing really well because they saw something different. They experienced something different. That's kind of where I think it is. I don't think the neighborhood's going to get a whole lot better. I hope it does. I really do. I'm not sure it is at this point. I think at this point we're trying to be a kind of a light and an outpost for kids to get out of it a little bit, being a little bit of a safe haven. But I really encourage them to go and do something else. I think I'll say the last thing. This is a little controversial, but when Valiant Cross had its first graduation, I was really proud of all those kids, but I was a little – Charles felt the same way, and I can't say this out loud, but I was a little concerned that most of them were going to Alabama State instead of going off to schools that they had offers from. Again, not just a bad school. I just wanted them out of Montgomery for a little while. You know, there's still a lot of the same kids, or, you know, there's still shootings at Alabama State's campus. There's still a lot of stuff on campus, fights and shooting and wildness, and I would just love them out of the whole culture of our environment. And, please don't mention that one out loud. I get in a lot of trouble saying that, but I just wanted them out of the city for a while, if I could get that, and then they could come back and make a difference. So, you know, my long answer to that is probably, I don't know. It's just so overwhelming of a experience and neighborhood trauma for the kids. And there's another 15 years of it.
All right. This problem is over the entire community. Is that correct? Not just Washington Park.
I think there's a lot of pockets. Yeah. There's a lot of pockets of neighborhoods that are like ours. Ours is a little more severe, but there's a lot of them. North side, west side, south side, for sure. Mm-hmm.
How is your health? Last time we talked via Zoom, you had mentioned some of that. How's that?
Well, it's self-reported at this point. I've got to go back and do all the retesting. But I think it's pretty evident to those around me and doctors and things that if I had to tell you, I think the neuroscientist was right. About 90% of the memory problems I was having, maybe 95, is kind of reversed. And so they recommended a 6-month sabbatical. I did that. They recommended very clear kind of brain exercises and things to keep my brain going one way while I was supposed to be reducing stress and trauma and things like that another way. And I think it all really did work. I feel myself again. I mean, I'm not forgetting things the way I was. I'm not burned out. I'm not depressed. I'm not discouraged, you know, none of that. And so I feel a lot, and I was coming out of that a lot when I went in to do the sabbatical. So, I'm doing well. I mean, I kind of, some of y'all knew, and of course I said it over the, I think speaker when I was there, but going through the divorce, coming up on 3 years ago now, was really hard for me. It was something I didn't want. It was something I wasn't, I mean, I expected it. I just was hoping for a miracle. And so when it happened, that was a death, you know. I had to kind of work through that in a lot of ways. And so, but I'm in a good place, and the boys seem to be doing pretty well. My daughter always struggles, so that's hard. I adopted a girl when she was 12, and she's 26 now, but she's emotionally about 12, from, you know, about the same age as when her mother was killed in our neighborhood. And so, I've got a 2-year-old grandson that I'm so attached to and so connected to, and frankly think I'll probably end up having to raise. But he's just amazing. And so I, am really enjoying where I am. I don't think I could at this stage go live back in the neighborhood. I think that was kind of I see that more of as kind of a tour of duty for me at the time. And I think that tour is over, but, you know, I really still want to advocate for and walk with people, you know, from that community. I just think my time of living every day and being there is probably over. So.
Y'all have other questions? Yeah. Do you have a camp director? Is that you?
Well, I've just hired last week, and I mentioned it, I think, at the thing. I hired a guy named Matt Kemp. His wife is Naomi Kemp, who works for Child Evangelism Fellowship there. I think she was at your conference the other day, but I know she was there. But Matt is my new property volunteer and construction supervisor. So he is over the whole property. He just started last week. Matt has the ability. This thing about Matt is he might end up morphing into a camp director as well. He oversaw all of the tutoring at AUM for years. I mean, thousands of kids he had to manage the tutoring programs. He had about 50 employees under him. He has an education background, very good at organizing and managing. So Matt's kind of one of those jack of all trades that might morph into the program developer after we get the camp built out. And so I'm really big on Matt. He loves the Lord. He's very dependable. He's a great guy. I met him because he was teaching and tutoring at the MAP Center, and then eventually at Common Ground when we merged our program. And so he decided he wanted to kind of move and use all of his abilities. He's been working construction for the last 5 years, doing renovations and things like that. So he has a big construction background as well. So that's my guy right now. And frankly, more than I can afford. And so that's, I have one person that's going to work up at the camp right now, and I got to hire a helper for him, but do the grass and the pool and things like that. But Matt's up there. That's who I got.
Is there somebody up there permanently now, or?
Well, I've got, yeah, I mean, I've got a guy that, named Moses, that I went to college with. He was a track star from Ghana, Africa. And one of my friends met him when I was at Troy, you know, 30 years ago or whatever. But Moses, he came here to run track, barely spoke English. And since then, all his family's passed away back in Ghana. A friend of mine kind of adopted him. His family adopted him while he was here. So he's grown up the last 30 years in this little family in Darlington. You know, honestly, a pretty racist little family in town, and they just fell in love with this African. And so Moses has kind of changed all their lives. But wow. Moses started a horse business. That's what they did back in Ghana. So Moses has 30 horses, and he's brought them all to the property, and he lives on our property and maintains all his horses. He runs a little carriage and lessons, like gives horse lessons. He breeds them, he trains them, he breaks them, he gives lessons. So I've got this African horseman that speaks this thick, you know, Ghanaian accent, wears a cowboy hat, plays country music, and rides people around the property. And so he lives on the property. And I've got another guy living there that I got to get off the property that was kind of doing some maintenance for me. But, Moses lives there full time. Matt's going to travel back and forth for now. I'm not against, you know, eventually moving up there, frankly, and staying there myself. I love it up there. It's, you know, it's just a beautiful place. And I kind of want to be present when we're bringing in teams and pouring into them. I want to be present a lot. So I've got my kids every other week right now. And so I could see kind of being up there every other week and then, you know, traveling back and forth for sports and practices and things that my kids do. Yep.
I'd like to get with you later and make a visit up there. So.
Oh, I'd love to take you.
I missed that on the last one several years ago.
Brian, how much has the property developed since we, some of us were up there?
Yeah, not a lot. Money's been a hard thing. I think when you were there, so we've done some more work in the gymnasium. I think we put a air conditioner in the gymnasium. We've spray foamed it and insulated it better. So the gym is usable. We're still about to redo the walls on the inside, but the gym's usable. We have, I think when you were there, the pool was up and going already. We've done some more work in the chapel. It's just about ready. I'm getting an office built out in the chapel for me. That's a place that I can kind of work out of as well. So we're doing that right now. Some of the cabins, we've done some work on a couple cabins, but frankly, there hasn't been. We've had some groups come out and try to cut some trails for us. The horses are all new, so we've put up horse fencing and horse barns, stuff like that. But really, not a lot. It's hard to say, not a lot. And I think that me pivoting come June 1st, I think I can really focus on raising money just directly towards that. Looks like when Ken takes over, the idea is that when Ken takes over and kind of oversees and does the after school programming, things like that, he's going to do it out of our facility and actually pay the liability insurance and the utilities and kind of free me up a little bit of having to manage that facility. Ken will take on that responsibility for that. And then I can kind of push our money up towards the facilities up there is the idea and raise money directly for that. It's felt a little weird because I've had to raise for both, and Common Ground's had a hard time with COVID. And so I haven't real, you know, money's got to go there first. That's been the thing. But now the board seems to be open and ready to move towards that. We didn't want to stop services to the neighborhood. So partnering with Ken to oversee that has helped us, you know, go ahead and move forward to do that. So the answer is not much.
Do you have some specific projects for teams that are coming up this summer?
Absolutely. Yeah. We're focusing on cabins. I've got 22 cabins and really 18 that need a lot of work. I've got four that work and I've got a little dorm that people can stay in. That's what we've done some work on, that dorm. So I've got a 12 bedroom dorm available, and then I've got four cabins that are going to be available right now that I can sleep people. And so the 18 cabins are going to be a priority when teams come up to help us do various measures of ripping things out and rebuilding things back in, stuff like that. And then just general cleanup of the property. There's still a lot of stuff that's laying around, from storms and, you know, trees fall in and stuff like that. Yep. The dam is still broke. We're going to rebuild a dam, that's there and kind of get our pond back. So we need, you know, all kinds of stuff out there.
What's that? Beavers your way. He's got a few on his property.
Oh, God. I'm feeling the water right now, yeah.
It wouldn't come without the water. Would it? Anybody else have any questions?
Just a little bit more on the cabins, Brian. Does that need, like, we're talking sheetrock and...
It's everything. I mean, it's everything. Plumbing, wiring, sheetrock. Yeah. You know, we're putting down flooring. We're redoing, we've gutted them. So, I mean, it's everything, tile work. We've got Goodwin. So, this was true when you were here last time. We had a guy from, we had Terry Slaughter from the Slaughter Group from Birmingham come down and kind of do a conceptual plan for the whole property, and he donated that. He said it was about a $50,000 plan, and he donated it for us. And now we've got Bruce Sharp from Goodwin Haywood is actually doing the cabin plan. kind of doing a drawing and a plan that kind of takes the conceptual and puts it to the actual. And then we've got, now that Matt's there, there's a couple or Goodwin Builders wants to come help us do one cabin. When we get the plan ready, you know, bring their guys on, kind of help us do a model cabin. It's our first thing. So we're trying to, it's about a $25,000 just for materials. It's about a $25,000, you know, push per cabin. And so we're going to try to get people to adopt cabins and, you know, do one cabin, maybe do naming rights, things like that, for all 22 cabins is what we'd like to do. So it's about $25,000 a cabin just in material that we're aware of, which includes the beds and everything as well. But that's where we are.
And then back here in the after school program, between you and Ken, I would assume you need tutors and what else?
Absolutely. Still need tutors, still need volunteers to come on a regular basis here. That's as far as the, he and I are developing a partnership. We were meeting yesterday. I don't think we'll announce anything publicly. I don't want to shake anybody up, but I will still be over the spiritual development of the kids. So I'll probably still come in one day a week and do the Bible studies and things like that. Our staff will still go back and forth. But he's going to oversee the everyday staff, even the ones that are on my payroll. He'll oversee them, in that after school program. But yeah, we still need the same, we need help, you know, people to come work with the kids and every aspect, from electives to tutoring to mentoring, that kind of thing. Yep.
Anyone take the place of, was Leslie Crowell?
Yeah, but Leslie's had a bunch of different roles. Her last role was over the pre-K. She wasn't running the after school the way she had done. And so Alvin Jeter is my director of operations. His mom is actually overseeing the pre-K now. She was in pre-K work for 30 years. And so she's overseeing the pre-K right now. But Leslie, had picked in some new roles at her college. And so she was less involved other than the pre-K. And she just moved up to Nashville. So, yeah.
All right, we are going to move to a time of prayer. Is there anything other than what you sent me that we can pray for and what we've talked about?
Yeah, I think, you know, it is interesting since we just haven't had the violence as much as it was hitting so hard around that conference. It really hasn't been. We haven't had the flare-ups or the shootings or things during our program, so that's been nice. It's a nice, not the experience.
Yeah. All right. Well, Bubba, you
want to
open us time? You
want to
close? Anybody
who'd
like to pray?
Hey, I will give you one more, Bubba. Hold on. I'll give you one more. And this is, I know this is on film and it's going to be kind of funny, but God, something just is that's encouraging to me. And I'll tell y'all, I mean, this is odd to say, you know, no matter what, but God's brought a pretty special person into my life. I reconnected with a woman about 6 months ago that lives in Chattanooga. And that I was crazy about when I was 21 years old as a new Christian. We were on a mission trip together. I met her on a mission trip and long story short, she kind of had the same experience as me as far as what happened in her marriage and what she went through and went through a divorce. And so she just kind of reached out to me but we've been seeing one and I've been driving up to Chattanooga as much as I can. She's been driving down, but she was a missionary in Egypt. She actually came and went to Trinity Church for a while when she lived in Montgomery, for a couple of years while she came off the mission field and went to Trinity Church for a couple of years. But I mean, she speaks Arabic. She's, just an interesting, you know, she went to language school and worked with Egyptians and worked in the slum. While I was planting Common Ground, she was planting, a school in Egypt and was working with the kids in the garbage slums and things like that. And she's pretty interesting. We're really matched well. I kind of have the same vision, but her dream is to come be on that property and work with traumatized kids. I mean, she works with refugees right now. She would love to add the refugee thing to bring refugee teams and things over to the property. And, anyway, her name's Jennifer and I'm crazy about her. I'm just curious to see what God is doing with that. So that feels weird to say after 20 years of being married, you know, being married to somebody else, but I'm really encouraged. I mean, God's, you know, we have a lot in common and her heart for the kingdom and who she is. It's not something I'd announce anywhere else, but I'll just tell you, I'm encouraged and I think God might be bringing, you know, somebody to help me walk with for long term. So just say that.
We are recording this, so maybe we should not put the recording out.
Yeah, I just want y'all to know.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time to be with Brian. And Lord, we just thank you that he is doing better. His health is better. And Lord, this last request for Jennifer. And Lord, I pray that if this is the right person for him, you would make it clear. And it'd be so good to have two people that have a heart and passion for outreach to people, whether they're here or around the world. So, Lord, you're in charge of this, and we'll just lift it up to you. But say we thank you to hear about what's going on with Common Ground, particularly with the camp. And Lord, the years that BK has been here working, and I know it's discouraging at times to see what goes on, and I can't comprehend a shooting in the neighborhood and what goes on, and it's I see it can be very discouraging for all of us, particularly for BK, who's right there in the middle of it. So I pray that you would encourage him and he could see the fruits of his labor and the people he's worked with, and instead of what's going on around there, what we read every day in the paper or in the news of what goes on, and it can be discouraging. But you reach out to all of us, and many of these people, all of them need you, but some we can reach and we can encourage and we can work with. So I will just lift up the camp. I will lift up the merger of the two ministries, but Lord, the camp may be a way to get young people away from where they are so that they can have a different vision of what's going on in the world. So if they live in these communities where it's just so horrible and young people, this first thing they think about is shooting somebody, and that's just hard for me to understand, and I know it's hard to deal with. So that you would strengthen this camp, and we think about these cabins, and Lord, that people would step up and volunteer to take care of a cabin, and the staff would come along, and the financial support would be there, and we could just be a outreach to the I said Washington Park, but other areas in Montgomery where young people can get away and just have a clear vision of you, Lord, and come to know you and grow in you. So I thank you for our years of association and the years that we've been involved in Trinity, and Lord, that this is something close by that we all could get involved in. So I pray that we would see more of that out of Trinity. So again, we just thank you for BK and what he's doing, and watch over him, Lord. Give him good health and give him wisdom in his next steps. So I pray this in Christ's name.
Lord, thank you for allowing us to be here this morning and talk to Brian and hear all the good things that Common Ground is working on. Lord, we pray that you continue to protect him and all the people that work with them and the children that are involved in Common Ground in Montgomery, Lord. And again, like Bubba said, we don't understand the violence and where that's coming from. We just pray that you will be in the hearts of these children, and that maybe we can see a change, Lord. But we just thank you that Brian spends the time and energy and with these children, and we just pray that they will be able to come out of that. We pray for the camp. We pray for the finances. We pray for the cabins, Lord, and the children that are going to be there one day. And we thank you for providing this opportunity.
Father God, we just come into your presence this morning, and we just give you thanks for all that you're doing, and just for all this report that Brian has given us this morning. And Father, we thank you for Brian, and just for the vision that you have given him for our community, for the heart that he has for young people, for the way that you have gifted him to be able to organize and to raise the funds and to just put together all of these programs, and Father, we just give you thanks for the opportunity to work with him through these years and to be able to support this ministry. And we just pray, Father, that you will continue to use Brian, that you'll continue to give him a vision for today, for 2023 and forward, and just how you want to use him in continuing the work of Common Ground. And Father, I just pray in particular for the camp, and just ask you, Lord, to just raise up the volunteers that are needed to just reach the full potential of this camp, Lord. It just has such potential, Lord, and to reach out to young people and to minister to them and to share the gospel and to just change lives, Lord. So we just ask you to raise up all of the volunteers and the financial needs, and we just pray that you would use these teams this summer just to make great progress in building these cabins and just providing just a wonderful environment for it, where young people can come in the summer. And Lord, I know how camps can change people's lives, and so we just pray that this will be the case, and that you'll just show Brian how to move forward. And we thank you for Matt and for Moses and just for others that you've raised up to come along beside Brian. And Father, we pray for organizations and churches to adopt these cabins and to provide the $25,000 that are needed to build up each one of these cabins. So Father, we're encouraged by this report. We're encouraged that Brian's health is improved. We're encouraged that he has met Jennifer. And Father, we just pray that you would put your hand of protection around Common Ground, that you just continue to bless this work. And Father, we'll just be careful to give you the glory and the honor and the praise. And I just pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we look to you with praise to you, the mighty God, and are thankful for Brian's testimony of your grace, your sustaining grace in his life through these many challenges. He's been faithful to a calling that who would guess the challenges that would lie before him, and many, many difficulties, and yet you sustained him, and he continues, and I pray that you would continue to sustain him, give him the strength, the sense of endurance that only you can provide. I do pray for the resources to continue to make this vision, bring it to fruition with the camp, and the continued work here in Montgomery, and the partnership with Ken Austin. And I pray that you would bless that, knowing that all of that requires many resources and many people, workers and volunteers, and that through this, the lives of these children will be impacted. I pray for these preschoolers, that they would get a solid start to their education that would make a difference as they come up through the schools, and just knowing that the schools are terrible too, and yet that you would provide a way for these children. And I pray for these 15 or so high schoolers, and that they would be strong and faithful, that their lives would continue to change, and that they would see opportunities outside the limited horizons that they have even right now. I thank you for those who've come through this program and are out in other places and serving, and that their testimony would be impactful for these teenagers, in particular, help them see it, have a vision for what can be done, and get just the many younger children would come along. We recognize that this is not easy. There are huge cultural issues that are working against the gospel, and just emphasize how much the light and truth of the gospel is needed in that neighborhood, but across the city as well, in so many ways, and that you would stir the hearts of your people, the people who worship and name the name of Jesus, Lord and Savior, that we would be stirred to be a part of this, to support it, to volunteer, and that you would continue to build this effort for the sake of your kingdom. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for Brian. Continue to give him strength even for today, and that you would just for each of us, we would be faithful, that we would be good stewards of your blessings in this day, that we would glorify you in our own places that you've appointed us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.